the glory.
Blessed be thy holy name.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace this morning once again, Lord, as we gather. We thank you for another day, another time of examining ourselves together. Lord, we are looking forward to thy return, Lord.
Amen.
And to take your bride away. We look forward to that day, Lord, even as you look forward, may our journey with you, Father, be constantly, O Lord, and firmly trusted, O Lord, into thy word. That we may be fully, O Lord, developed and matured, Father, into a perfect man and a woman in thy sight, Lord. A people that are made ready as a wife for the bridegroom. We thank you, Father. We ask the Lord you look upon us today as you approach thy word now. May they open our hearts, Lord, again to the receiving of thy word. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, let's have some scripture verse to begin with. The book of Matthew. And we go to verse chapter 18, sorry, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So what then is a church? What then is ecclesias? As I said this last week, when we talk about church again, the mind of people in general is always thinking about basically a building. Of course, they know also it's a people. But let us examine the scripture closely how Christ bring about his church. Well, here it is said to the disciple, at that time they were not even, you know, we would say, they were not even yet born again. They have not even received the Holy Ghost baptism, which came only, of course, on the day of Pentecost. Yet Jesus said to them, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when we talk about church, we're talking about calling out. There was a church in the Old Testament, the Israelites that came out, whom God called, whom God chose. They are the called, they are the church. But that particular church is a church natural. They're not spiritual. They were looking for a kingdom. But when the cross came and Christ was crucified, and the Holy Ghost, the gospel was given, and the Holy Ghost came. Even as Christ came to preach the gospel, he was already calling out a people. He went about choosing. Remember one thing? It is God that chose us. We didn't choose him. Is that right? God seek for us. No man seek after God, we know that. And it's the Lord that seek us out. And the gospel being given, it stirs our heart to accept. And so when he started calling the disciple, there was then beginning of a church too, but yet they have not yet received the Holy Ghost. They were in the in-between between the Old Testament church that was natural and that which was given on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. So now you have two or three disciples. Well, two or three are getting my name. Jesus said, they are mine in the midst of them. This is the beginning of how God, of Christ, began to bring about a people. So now you just think about it. If you and someone else is a Christian, just one person beside you, or another one, maybe two or three, and you are in the bars and you start to fellowship. Now that's a church. Moving in the bars. Huh? If you are in the train, sitting together and start to, you know, fellowship together around the Word of God, and that's a church moving in the train. Whether it be in a plane or wherever you are, Even you are on the road, you're walking, just to talk about the Lord, just to share and fellowship with one another. Two or three walking on the road, that's the church walking on two feet going around. Whether it be in the park, whether you wherever you are, that's a church. And it's hard for many people to imagine sometimes, or to just try to understand what the church really is. Now, as you know, the disciples were called. We must understand that the tension, what Christ wants to do is that when He called, He doesn't work with a group, He called individually. When He called individually, those individuals who had this faith in them, the tendency is that within our heart, the Spirit of God stir us up to seek for others of like precious faith. You agree with that, don't you? I mean, I'm not going to look for somebody else who's not in the same faith and try to sit together and fellowship. I can't fellowship with a Hindu. I can't fellowship with a Muslim. Neither can I fellowship with a Catholic when all they do is talking about the sins and Hail Mary full of grace, things like that. We are seeking out those of like precious faith. There's no doubt about it. You see. So now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. When we come realize that after the Holy Ghost was given, they are more individual now. You have maybe 2 in a certain area, 3 in a certain area, 5% in a certain area, and they begin to come together. So you have more than 2 or 3 now. You may have 20, you may have 40, you may have 50. Individual believer of like precious faith coming together. So now Christ began to form. You must remember, just like an embryo, it began to split into 2 to 4 to 8. It began to form into a body. So now the body began to take shape the way it should. Now when you look at an embryo, I don't know whether you sometimes, you know, no, they modern science, you people, I mean education, you know, they are trying to impart knowledge to young people, and so you look at some of, they have all this photograph, electron microscope photograph, and micro photograph, and whatever not. You ever seen fetus? Pictures of fetus, eh? If you have never seen them, maybe you can go, I think, I don't know where, but in laboratory, they usually have, you know, canister in this jar, and all those that happen to be, you know, maybe it's aborted or miscarried, they show all this little fetus development. And of course, when looking the first time, you know, a tiny little thing, the big hand, they look like a little tail, and the little tiny feet, they don't even look like feet or hands at all. Now that's what it is, it began to form. And so when Christ began to get the disciples together, 2 or 3 here and so on, and then on, they all come together, the body began to form now into shape. Here we see in Ephesians chapter 4 then, of course here's Paul began to tell us what happened. It says that when Christ ascended into heaven, in verse 8, He led captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it? But He that also descended first into the lower part of the earth, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a matured man, woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more be children, tossed here and there, and carried about with every wing of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You see, they're coming together, compacted, by which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you understand now, you see, it's to bring them together, this gift. Now Christ began to give gift after He went up. When He went up, He said the Holy Ghost, then He began to give gift. So the gift of this ministry began to come into the body to be able to function the way that Christ intended to function. You cannot just have two or three there, and that's it. You see, yeah, when there are two or three gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. But they need to seek for those of like precious faith. They need to come together. You know, I don't know what, you know, some metal, I think that mercury, or some metal, I'm not quite sure whether if I understand it right. If you take a certain kind of metallic liquid form, and you drop it, you spill it up. Is that right? Okay, you will all drop up. But it seems that there is some kind of attraction that it will all form and come back together. I'm not sure that if that was true. If there was such some kind of, it's a mercury, you know, it tends to come together. You know, it's an attraction. You see. So, it is the same thing with the body of Christ. Two or three may be there, but they can't say, oh, two or three, we are here, we are the church, we just stay here. But then what happened to the walking? What happened to the gift? What happened to the ministry? How can the body be fully joined together, compacted and grow up? If it's just there by itself in one corner. You understand that? That's why I declare that those loner who stays at home and listen to the tape of Brother Branham, they're the end of God. If you ask me, am I serious? I'm serious. Do you understand that? I'm not everywhere, you know, in Africa, met some of these ministers and all. You know, Brother God, why are you so controversial? Why is such a controversial person? You know why am I controversial? I told him because I said I preached in the scripture. Why was Brother Branham so controversial? A figure, a person. In the church world. Because he dared to tell the truth. Because he dared to stand and preach the truth. And that's why he's a controversial person. You won't be controversial if you fit yourself into the crowd. And follow the crowd of people. The majority. Stand in the pulpit and talk about all the simple things about tradition and all this stuff. Make everybody happy. Now you won't be a controversial person because you fit into the society of so-called Christian people. Do you understand that? You see, that's why I declare that all those who stay home and listen to tape, they're not of God. That is not anything to do with God. It has to do with people who are proud. Who think that, well, this church is wrong, that church is wrong. That's why when in the past years, I met some of those brethren who were scattered from their other churches, you know. Back in the 80s, 90s, I met some of them. So why did we fellowship? Oh, I'll just stay at home and listen to tape. I said, is that what God, is that how God perfected Brian? And I told one of them, who was supposedly a mature person. I said, is that how God perfected Brian? You know. So, well, you know, I don't agree with that one. I don't agree with that one over there. And I asked him, I said, do you not believe that God has a people in every nation? That God has a ministry, definitely, at least in every nation. No matter how big or small, God has a ministry. God has a people. You know, where do you want me to go? Go to your church? I said, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said, you pray about it, think what God wants you to do. Oh, Brother Barney, God wants me to stay home and listen to the tape of Brother Branham. Hogwash than that. You know, there's a whole lot of nonsense. Brothers, it's at least the hour we live in that we're going to be serious with the Word of God. We're living in 2007. We already passed 2000 and we are expecting that Christ will come. 2005. Did Christ tarry? Sometimes I wonder why he tarried. I see, because the bride, the people in the message, a bunch of foolish people, and they need to be shaken. And I believe they have to be shaken. And those things that will not be shaken will remain. And how will he remain? Those people who will not be shaken will be those who remain in the Word of God. In the revelation of His Word. Not in some quotes and some ideas and opinion. God wouldn't do it. We're not living the days in the 50s or the 60s. We have come so far already. God had to take right up right home because He finished His work. And the problem still remains. I can tell you this. Everybody will tell Corporal Branham. And after they passed away, 60s, 70s, what happened? People went all over the world and started to hold, oh, Brother Branham, this, Brother Branham, that. I'm thinking about Brother Branham. Friday, I brought a book and showed it to you. See, what that man was trying to. Oh, this little book that he sent me. It's a whole lot of quotes of Brother Branham, trying to prove. And he said, it's my opinion, this and that insight. And he scared me. I'll show you some of the things that he said. No, the thing that I knew was interpretation or opinion of what he think Brother Branham was saying. And some of the things are very scary. Brother, our foundation, sister, our foundation is the Word of God. It's the Word of Christ Jesus. Paul said that to Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and so on. And how can we take any other book and make that the authority, the source? Why am I controversial? Simple as that. Take the Word of God and preach it and see whether you'll be controversial. You know, I went to the Philippines all those years. Those brothers know what I'm preaching there. Now they themselves become controversial preachers among the Branhamites. What about Africa? The same thing. Look at Brother Nice. He came in once, talked to me, I showed him the word. He went back to Nigeria and was attacked. And even the brethren in this island, if you show me some of the email. And I told him, Brother Nice, they attack you not because you were with me. They attack you because you know the word now. And you stand the word, they will attack you. Won't prove anything, prove from the Word of God. That's the only way. So see how the body comes together? God, Christ, will bring them all together. And some of ourselves together. As you ought to seek those of like precious faith. And build up the body, build up the church. 1 Corinthians 11. Here we see, of course, the gift. We all know well the gift. Verse 34. Say, if any man hunger, let me eat at home. That ye may not come together in the condemning. But the rest I will send in order when I come. The last part. The rest will I send in order when I come. Paul wrote this to Corinthians about because of the confusion. About the Lord's Supper. But he says, oh, when I come, I will set things in order. Why? Why do you need to be set in order? Is it because the Church of God is a living organism? And a living organism does not move about anyhow. If you know what an amoeba is, I don't know where you all say amoeba or not. Maybe biology to some of you is a no-no. But amoeba is a one-cell animal. Amoeba is not a plant, I believe. It's a plant. It's an organism. Okay. I would say it's an organism. One-cell organism. Now, if you ever examine under microscope, it's just a cell, and, oh, and then it's, of course, what we call it can take any shape as it can move, you know. So, you don't look at it. If you have the organism, and one part want to move this way, and the other part want to move that way, what will happen? It won't move. Because one want to go that side, one part of the body want to go that side, it just won't move. So when it moves, the rest of it will follow. All the neutral, whatever is in the cell, will move along with it. You understand that? You see? And that's how the Bible intended that God wants us to know things, how He operates. So Paul said, I will set those things in order when I come. Let you know how to do the things that want to be done. According to the way that God wanted to be done. And here we have, of course, in chapter 12, all this spiritual gift. You see, here we have, after the Holy Ghost came down and God gave the fivefold ministry, the Bible points out God, there were diversity of gifts. Verse 4. You know, then we have differences of administration by the same Lord, diversity of operation but by the same God. Then you have the gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment, discerning of spirit, diverse counts of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And verse 11 says that all this work, the one in the same spirit, divided to every man as he will. For as the body is one, and have many members, and all members of the one body being member, many are one body, and so also is Christ. The Holy Spirit will give as He will. You know, not just this nice spiritual gift. We call it spiritual gift. But there are other gifts that God gives in the church. Those are the gifts, the ability to play the instruments. Those are the ability to sing to the Lord. You know, to contribute to the welfare of the church, to be an elder, to be a deacon. You see. And even for Sister Jackie at home, she, you know, all these years she's been trying to, you know, send out the parcel, check the name, make sure everything's done right. I'm glad that she have this, you know, time and ability to desire to do those things. And there is something that there happened to be a mistake in the address, or she check and double check and let me know. So this is a gift of God, and you want to do it for the Lord, you do it in the position that God put you in and do it. So everybody, you know, in us, there is something that God put in us. Until you find it, you wouldn't know. You understand that? And so all this work by the self-same Spirit. There's only one body, but every one of us member of it. So everybody fitting together to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here again, verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14, 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Again, here we see that. Done decently and in order. As I said last Sunday, and even as Barbara said, you know, your pastor, a pastor cannot wear an evangelist shoe. You know right? An evangelist cannot wear the shoe of a prophet. Because it's not designed to fit his feet. And so the same thing. The deacon doesn't tell the elder what to do. Neither the elder tells the musician how to play. Everybody knows, when you are in that position, you do what you know you are supposed to do. Pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that you might be able to contribute to the church, the well-being of the church. Chapter 15. And here we have verse 21. You see here, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruit, afterward there are Christ and his coming. So you see, there is an order. Even in the resurrection. You know, Friday, Jefford has to go into national service. You know, yesterday he's caught up. So he said, oh, pray for me. Tomorrow I'm going. I said, you're going before us? you see what I mean? Nobody can. Of course, everyone have when it comes to resurrection, there's always an order. You know what I'm saying? You can say, oh, I want to go first, I want to go there. But the thing is that there's an order of resurrection. Christ. Right, first, then the first fruit, the church, and then the general assembly will come out. You see. And the same thing when we all come to the judgment seat of God, there will be an order. You see. How the individual will be judged. And I say one thing, the prophet will be judged first, those standing in the front line. They will be judged first. You know, the star messenger will be judged first in every age. Then as far as the local church is concerned, the pastor will be judged first. Then the elder, then the rest. There has to be an order. It's from the top down, so to speak. You see. Now, the other thing is, let me say, the church is not a club. It is not a society where people must be satisfied to fulfill, you know, their desire, their whims and their fancy. You know, you go to a club, you join a club. Later on, you don't have something going on, you know, there are certain meetings you can propose and you can argue your way out. But the church of God, you cannot tell God how to run the ministry. As I said this, there are people, you know, they think they can preach better than a preacher. And if they ever think they can preach better than a preacher, God will have called them to be a preacher. I have shown you that. In fact, in the past, some letters that came, not some of these letters that came in, especially of course from the African country, one from Kenya, two from Uganda, and another one from, I think, Malawi. This minister trying to correct my doctrine and Brother Jackson's doctrine, and propose that we meet up with him, you know, to support him. And he said that he had written, one of them said he had written 800 pages. Because God didn't give him this ministry, a mystery, the revelation of mystery of the seven thunders. Think about it. Another said in Ghana, now this one is in Ghana, wrote me and Brother Jackson that we, you know, come to revelation that he has, that he is the eighth messenger, you know. That there is a new ministry that is going on by God, and God, he's the one now that is doing it. There's always people, there will always be men that think they have a ministry, but they don't. Just same thing, you know. Like the believer I told you about, the book that he had the last time when I first knew him back in the 70s, I saw some of his books and he chopped his name there. Pastor Peter Lim. But they say, if he's a pastor, he should have a flock of sheep. Yes. Back in the 70s, when I came to the message, you know, I have a rubber stamp. I mean, on my own. Because God called me to be what I am at that time. And all my book, I stamp my name with my title there. What God had called me to do. Prophetic teaching. And when you went out there, some people saw my book from that other church. They said, oh, Brother Ken Quim is our prophet. You know, when you imagine something, you're not, it will never come to pass. By God call you, God will have to make that ministry happen. And I never forced myself to be a pastor, nor an apostle, or whatever people want to call me. I never did. I knew what God had called me. I wrote in my Bible back then, kept it. Only my books, I have my own names there, which never go out on my shelf. But somehow somebody borrowed and then it went somewhere else. And it's only that's the thing people don't realize. If you have a ministry that God called you into, He will surely, as Barbara said, feed you, take care of you, and make the things come to pass. Isn't it? If you try to force us to make it work, it won't work. It may work for a time because of your energy, maybe of your charisma, trying to get people together, and sweet talk them and all these things, psychology. He might come along and ask you to support him, ask you for your offering and your tithes to print books or do this and that. But who gets the name? He gets the name. You know. But what happens to a ministry? If there is one, go up, bring it up. If it's not, as Gamaliel said, Paul. If those people that you know, Gamaliel is so much wiser. He was a Pharisee. Don't remember, he was a Pharisee. So was Paul. But Paul was heavy and high-minded, you know. Went out there to go hunt for all those Christians and bring them to judgment. And persecute them. But Gamaliel told him, if they were not of God, those who were not of God, it would come to nothing. If it was of God, you'll find yourself finding God. You know, that's the thing that we should take heed to. Because I said, leave them alone. As Gamaliel said, just leave them alone. Right or wrong, true or false, leave them alone. You see that? So, the church is not a club or a society people come and try to, you know, fulfill their desire. Oh, I want to go to this club, you know. This country club, I don't know how many thousands you have to pay. Like my friend, he just was talking the way, so he paid, I don't know how many thousands, I can't remember how many thousands, at least 10, 20,000, something like that, remember?
50,000.
50,000, well, I don't know. So he fell out and so, what happened to the money? So he figured, well, since I paid, I must go and join the facilities. So he went there, of course, do his gym, gym, going up and down, and then he goes swimming, and, you know, go, don't know how to play golf, and borrow something, just whack the ball, makes you feel happy, you know. What? And then he grumbled to me, and said, oh, you know, Richard, it's not worth it. This thing is all businessman, big, you know. Got money to throw, drive the BMW and all that. You know, that's for businessmen. Why? Well, we are earning $3,000-$5,000 a month. We want to act like them. They earn $30,000-$40,000 a month. How can we act like them? We can't act like them. Can you act like, who is this Branson? The one who owned Virgin Airlines. What's his name? Richard Branson. Can you want to act like him? You can't. Isn't it? Anyone, some of the MP in Singapore, at least they're humble enough to go out there in the street normally, you know, and eat char kway teow. And eat all common food at the hawkers. You know what I mean? You know, they'll be down to earth. That's what we have. We can see some people, well, we're Chinese, called Hao Mian. They will act like they are very rich when they are not. You can see when a person is not rich, acting rich, you know, it's a fake. True person who is rich, always humble. They don't dress every day multi-million-dollar coat, something like go out and walk. No. They are very simple people. That's what we call a true blue rich man. Whose money is not a big thing. Who behind the Bible, like someone who, you know, financial, give money away. See, he's a very simple man. Because he was brought up, he know what suffering is, I know what being poor is like. You know. So we have the same character over in Christianity. Same character in anti-message churches. So don't think that the church is a club that you can come here anytime you like and go away anytime you like. That is not what it is. You come into the message, you identify yourself as I said, you seek out those who have the same truth. Believe in a like precious faith. And then when you come to this little local assembly, you make this local assembly your church home. You must have a church home. To believe that you are a child of God, and that you don't need a church, you can go to any church anytime you want, walk out anytime you want, and you have no responsibility, it's not of God. That spirit is not of God. You have a responsibility. That's right. You look at a tribe of Israel, 12 tribes. Every tribe has an elder. But every tribe, to get all these tribes coming together, make the whole nation. And they are responsible to today, nation of Israel. Here you are a citizen of Singapore. You don't tell me you have no responsibility as a citizenship? Is that right? Even if you go overseas and work for 3-5 years, you still hold your passport of Singapore, you're still responsible to Singapore. Do you know that?
Sure.
And as we are the citizen of God, of the heavenly kingdom, then we have a responsibility too. Do you understand that? We are therefore responsible to this little assembly. They are the assembly, they are souls that God has put in other different places, different countries. They are all working together as a body. Like in the Philippines, once a year or twice a year, there are all these 10, 20 different churches will come together in the big convention. They become all the whole big family of God. But when they go back to their own province, their own city, their own barangay, their own little village, they have their little assembly. Some maybe are 20 here, others maybe 100 in that city. Then that local assembly, they operate as a body, operate as a sovereign church. Every church of God, every assembly is sovereign in the eyes of God. That means that we are all self-contained. You see? We're all answerable. We're all answerable to each other. We cannot do anything we want, anyhow we want to. You know. It's just like when a person going for surgery, a major surgery, the doctor said, you know, when I open up this part, the other organ might get affected. So you've got to think about this organ affecting the other organ. That's true. You just simply say, okay, I'll sacrifice this one, that one. You've got to think and wait it out. So in the same thing in the church, your action is going to affect the other members of the body. You've got to wait it out. What you are doing? You see? So when you come to the fellowship with this, you say, okay, this is my home church. Don't move from pillar to post. Brother Bram is talking about there are many people just doing that. You know, and out there in the charismatic churches, this is what people are doing. They go there and have a good time. They don't like it, they go there another one. We are not a club or a society or an entertainment or something where we can come in and have a good time. And if we don't like it, after a while we can go somewhere else. God forbid this thing. Find a place where you can call home, stay, and support the cause, the way the Brahmin said about it. And I like it the way, simple way you said it. You see, and we all have to. Here we all have. We all gather together here. You know what? We support the cause. Your offering, your mission fund that you give. You know, it's an extension of here to all those other churches in other countries, so that they can go out and spread the gospel and spread the message. Why you cannot go, even as Bobby Graham, now I'm quoting a lot of Bobby Graham though. Bobby said, why you cannot go, you know, your offering, your help, you know, your support, it helps those that can go. And that is true. I mean, I cannot be in Africa, I'll be places, you know, but those brother James Venable, John Mark, they can move very freely. Because the African, their passports in certain countries can just move like in West Africa. In West Africa, you know, you can. They don't need the visa. Those brothers from Nigeria can just go over to Ghana all this because they have a certain what called an agreement. You understand? You see? But for me to go to Africa, you know how hard it is to get a visa here and there? So difficult to get a visa. Because some of these, there are no embassy here, no consulate here, some of them. And you go to certain country, you send a passport over there. You see? So that's the reason why we are here as a body to support the whole body of Christ as a whole around the world. Yes, I know there's only one church. But here it is, a local church, we call it. What do you use the word local? Not universal. But the local church has a function as a body. You understand that? So, you know, let me... when we come together, of course, we must have a same mind. In one accord, Acts 15:25. And been good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. You see, there were other churches out there in Asia Minor. And when a Christian came together, when a church came together, he said, okay, the church down there in Antioch, maybe out there in Sicilia, maybe all these other cities, they need to be strengthened. They need spiritual help. So the local church in that one place, whether it be Jerusalem, Antioch, or any other city, they saw the need because they received news or letters or messages, and they said, please send somebody to help us. So they prayed together, and then the Holy Ghost speak and said, okay, well, it's good that we send you, you know, Barnabas to you. So people must come together with one accord and make a decision prayerfully what to do. If it's a prayer to go, okay, let's assemble to Siberia, you know, because there is a letter from Siberia, say, send someone to help us. And we prayed about it and said, okay, and the Lord speak, and oh, we send somebody. And that's how these things are. You know. I have received letters, I have asking for clothing, yeah, we send them, that's no problem. They are those who are really poor. But I have received also lots of letters and emails asking for money. I don't even know who these people are. One thing they come in is, oh, the church of the roof of my church has been blown away by typhoon. By strong storm. And I don't even know who this person is. The first time write me and asking for something like $200-$300 to put a roof. And so in fact I was telling this person, okay, I said, I want you to contact certain pastor there. And he wrote back, if you're offended, he said, oh, you mean that you are checking me out? What do you think I'm doing? Obviously I'm checking you out. Because I don't even know who you are. Your root could be money coming into your pocket in your own account, isn't it? I don't even know anybody. A lot of corn men around. How do I know who you are? You know. So he got offended. So, oh, never mind. If you don't want to help. And after a while, a few more months, and now he came in and said again and showed me a photograph of a building. You know, very poor pixel of a building, and it could be anybody's building. You know, I don't know how you're going to prove anything. You see. So these are the things that we need to know to pray for, and how, you know, I mean, we should never just let sympathy, or weakness, or, oh yeah, we care for the poor, just simply, we know, I know some Europeans and some Canadians and Americans just simply give money and all these things. That's what happened now in Sri Lanka. You know, Brother Chandula had a problem. Last 2 years ago, one minister came and started attacking me and, you know, came to the church and then he went around. He knows some of these people. He took an address and visit all the other members and speak to them. And then he gave money, give them a videotape recorder and televisions and, you know, things so that they could see Brother Graham's film and hear Brother Graham's sermon, and of course this thing they all welcome. So he was putting them, so the church split. You know. And that minister's from Europe. You know, and he's not what his brother might do. But those some of the elders just move away from Brother Chandula and mix with this man. And how long do you think this man is going to support them? How many years? When there's no money, these people will not accept it. And that's what happened in Congo, in Zaire. And this remark was made known to me from those brethren ministers in the Philippines. Let me know that the German minister, when he went there, told them, these people out there in Congo are after my money. I'm not going to give them money anymore. Get it wise up. For years going out there with money. You're using money to proselyte the people. You think that they are believing in the truth? You can speak to 50 people in Africa, and you know they're poor people. The minister there wants you to support. I was there one time in different places. I come back, I receive letters. So, Brother Gandhi, this and that, we heard your preaching, we like it, we believe in you, we are poor, we need support, this and that. Every time, never fail. And you feel that you've got on the, oh, these people are coming now, believing my message, believing my ministry. Yeah, no problem. 100, 200, 300 later on, give more, 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 more. And these people, what make you think that they're believing in the truth? No. Because in many countries, let me say this honestly, material things are what they need, not spiritual things, many of them. They're looking to material things. And I have challenged those brethren in Butuan City. Those early years when we were there in the 70s. But again, we cannot afford to give tithes. We are only 100 pence, so we give 10. You know, 10 is a lot. I said, brother and sister, that every time you think about it like this, you always earn 100 peso. You will never have 200 peso. You will always have 100 peso. Because when you complain, that's the amount of money you will always get. Can you believe God and give them to God and see whether God will bless you? You know, before I was there in the 80s, in the early 80s when I traveled there, there were all these other ministers from America and Canada that were there. What have they been teaching them? Oh, they are the church needs this, need this, need this. They write a letter back to the state, to Canada. To those churches that just make them missionary over in the Philippines to help send some money. How much can they help? And that's what happened. For so many years, when I challenged them to do what is right. 2-3 years down the road, everything has changed. Completely changed. And you have seen what Brother Orson's church is like now. You have seen the last visit, I took some pictures, the whole thing is enlarged. The floor is no more mud, cemented. And they have better pew now than they make by themselves. For in those days, rickety. Huh? And Brother also became full-time. No more a postman anymore. And no more even, you know, we support him with a motorcycle trying to get, you know, get passengers, the pedicab. No more. Now he's moving from place to place. He's sending in as a brother. I'm in that island. I'm visiting these Trinitarian churches there, and the minister come together. And that's how it works. Follow the word of God. You buy soul. That's why when I went there in the Philippines, they said, "Brother God, you know you have to pay this minister two ways. When they come, the transport you must pay them, and when they go back, you must pay them." I says, "What? This is the convention. If they want the foot of God, they come on their own." So, but the Americans and all these other brothers, when they organize the convention, they pay everybody food and transport. So, of course, they have a great time to come here for, because it's a vacation. Free food, free lodging. Huh? And I was there the first time. I said, this is only one time. Next time, if they want, they make their way here with their own money. And then I'll give them money to go home. Later on, I says, no more. Only those who really could not afford. But those ministers later on realized, because they took the challenge, now they come on your own. You think God is impossible? Do you think it is impossible for God to fulfill your desire for the word? If you desire it, God, make a way. When there is no other way, you think there is no other way, but God will make a way. But if you're aware there is a way to you and everything is support from overseas, then you will always have that. Because your way is human being. But God's way is His way. So when you come together, you know, remember one thing. The church is together here. So that none of us can have the idea, I don't come here to have my desire fulfilled, my women fancy fulfilled. No, you're not here coming here for any of your real fancy and your desire. You know, you come here to say, Lord, what is your desire for me? Not my desire be done, not my will be done, but let your will be done. What do you want me to do, Lord? What have you for me today, Lord? If I'm weak today, Lord, I'm weak. Strengthen me, Lord. I'm strong today, Lord. Help me to help somebody. Let God's will be done in your life. And let your desire be in the Word. That's the most important thing. Not in any other thing. Your desire to be in the Word of God. So, let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. You see, if there be any consolation in Christ, Philippians 1, chapter 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any above works, so there's the inward part of the care and mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind, one accord, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of the other. That's why I always say, Barbara, one time make this. In fact, you know, I tell you one thing. When I was working as a nurse, you know, I think most of us, we'll give to charity sometime. But when I was working as a nurse, I have a charity that I love to give. And that charity is the blind. You know, the blind always send you a little envelope like this. That's the only charity that I would donate to them. And when one day when I heard Brother Bam talks about, saying, the poor out there, let the world take care of them. Let us take care of our own. You understand that? I mean, let's take care of the Christian that they didn't need our help. Let the world take care of those out in the world. And that's why I stopped giving to charity. I don't give a charity. I mean, those people on the flag, they want to come, you know, you might give them a bag or something they really need to give, but I don't really give to charity now. Look at Singapore, it's rich. There are a lot of people who give to charity. Look at how much the money goes into their care. What about all these others? Singaporeans can afford to help the Singaporean, that's right. But we being a Christian, we help those who really need it. You see, I want to identify myself with those. Now here we are, okay, I'm a Singaporean. If I were to migrate over to Uganda, if I'm not a Christian, I go to Uganda and work. You know, you're all black men out there. Automatically say, hey, well, there's no Singaporean here. You know, I'll probably go and look for Singaporean. Maybe there's a community of Singaporean that work there, right? So I'm trying to find a Singaporean because I want to identify them because I'm a Singaporean. Okay, you don't have. Okay, then at least go and find some from some Chinese national or some Taiwanese or some Filipino, some people over this part of the world. Something that we have common. You know, otherwise everywhere I see is all the black and I'll be eating the black food and all that stuff. Oh my, I need somebody to identify with. It's very natural. And so as a Christian, likewise the same. If I'm a Christian, when I go to Uganda, now the first thing is I'm not looking for Chinese. I'm not looking for Singaporean. I look for what? I look for Christian people of like precious faith. Doesn't matter whether it's black, brown, yellow, or green. Doesn't matter at all. Because there is a certain identification that we need to have. And so now, my thinking is that we help those of our own, obviously. And so why do we send so many clothing that why we can send them? You know, support all those poor really needed? Why do we think we help those in the flooding out there in Malawi? We just bought 4 bicycles for the brother in Malawi, for the ministers. Because they have to go 10 miles, 15 miles. And transportation in Malawi and out there in away from the city. You can stand on the roadside waiting for the whole until the sun goes down. And then you see nobody, you go back to the house again. Next morning you come out to the road again and wait for a transport. That's practically how it is. It's not easy in certain places to get transport. You see. Do you understand what it is now? So, we all have the same love, same mind, same accord. Let us be mindful of one another in these things. Alright? Philippians 1, 27. Only let the conversation be has become the gospel. Conversation means your character, your behavior. Now, whether I come and see you, or I always be absent, I may hear of your affair that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversary. You know, we always stand fast in one accord. Don't let the enemy trouble you. You know, some of you here have been troubled by enemies before. There's all kinds of things about behind my back to you about me, this and that, and cause some of you to go away and your mind's all messed up. This is how the adversary works. You know. Back in those days, when we were fellowshipping in the village, in Bukit Timah, that was back in the 80s. You know, late 70s, early 80s. We have this brother who is living here. As I said, I was thinking about the ministry that he had. But he turned around and believed in a fourfold ministry. And then behind their backs up, caught up here, put up another Paul also, Sister Aggie. And I know they were being swayed by this. And I have to call this idea, Brother Paul and some of the others, sit down and talk with them about this. You know, there are certain people with charm and personality that they can really charm you and talk so sweetly to you that you don't even discern them because you are captivated. Like Sister Viola said, don't listen to my voice, listen to the word. But she has a good voice, and you say, oh, that's a good voice. And you start thinking about the voice, don't think about the word. You see? And that's how people do. Oh, this man talks to you. Yeah. And so they're not listening to the thing that he said to know that those things are not right. But you are listening, oh, God, so sweet. Oh, Prince Charming. You know, that sort of thing. You ever seen a beautiful girl when he's open his mouth? What is that? You know, it doesn't match with the voice, right? It matches the face. Have you ever picked up a phone or talked to someone on the other end you do not know? And you hear a voice that sounds so sweet? Huh? You're trying to imagine that this voice fits a beautiful face. But go to the office, when you make an appointment, you say, oh, you're the one. It's a different thing altogether. So that's why voice plays a whole lot of important. And people hear the voice, they don't hear the word. My sheep hear my voice, and no other voice will follow the sweet one. The one that tells you the truth. Right. You know how it is like. You know, people are being swayed by all that thing. You see? And you know what this believer told me? Let me say this. When you believe in a powerful ministry, there's one thing. But when he had that dream that I told you about, when I was preaching, he said in his dream, he said, they caught hold of him and made him to wear a robe of half silver, half green, chain him up, threw him into prison. Then again, in the dream, he found himself here preaching. As he preached, they caught hold of him. Now forced him to wear a robe, half silver, half brown, chain him up, threw him into prison. Then that's the end of his dream. He asked me the question, what is the meaning of the dream? I said, let me tell you one thing here first. Now, that I have no idea. But I can tell you one, give you one interpretation right now. And leave the rest until the Lord reveals it. I said, the silver is the word of God. So we left with it. It was later on, as I said, Brother Horton came. Then there was on that particular day, 3 days of service. I think it was on the third night, if I'm not mistaken. Brother Horton was ministering. Then he said, okay, let us all pray and seek for the Holy Ghost, those of you do not have. Everybody was kneeling down. So Brother Hawking went up to everyone and prayed for everyone. And I was at the pulpit. I stood up while I was sitting here. There was the organ right there, so the pulpit was here. So I turned up that pulpit and began to pray and worship and minister to the Lord. Then the Lord came upon me. The person who was sitting there was playing the organ. And the Lord said, prophesy over him. And I opened my eyes and looked at him. I said, no, Lord. I said, if you want me to prophesy over here, I want him to stand. I want him to kneel before me here at the pulpit. You know, we had a little platform raised up. I don't know if my brother still remember back in the village church. The platform was raised up so that it could be higher. You know, so I continued to pray. And then as I pray, you know, he's always tough. When I was praying and then I suddenly opened my eyes, he was kneeling before me. He was the only one, everybody was kneeling at their own pew. And he was kneeling before me. When I saw him right there, I took the Bible from the organ where his own Bible. And he was lifting up his hand, I placed his hand together like this in front of him. I took his Bible, opened it up and rubbed his hand. And I prophesied over him. I said, the Lord, I call you to be an evangelist. But take heed wherever you go. Wherever you go, you will hear different teachings. And there will be spirit that will try to deceive you. And if you don't take heed to the word of God, one of these days the word of God will drop away from you and I let the Bible drop onto the floor. You know, while I was prophesying, the trouble is everybody was still raising their voice. And he heard the first part. He wasn't hearing the second part. I was even raising my voice louder. You know, that thing passed after a few months. And then he came back to me one day. He said, Brother Gannon, I want to talk to you. He said, so he came to me and said, remember the vision that I told you, the dream? I said, well, you have a lot of visions and dreams. I don't know what you're talking about. You know. So the one about this road and all this. I said, okay. He said, you did not interpret to me. I said, wait a minute, brother. There was right there in one of my home. He said, wait a minute, brother. I remember I interpreted to you. Let me recall it. I said, you came to my home and you told me this dream and I told you that the silver was the word of God. Oh, he said, yes. That's right. That was what you said. But that was not the interpretation God gave to me. I said, hold on a minute. I said, the interpretation was given to you at the pulpit. And Brother Hawking was saying, did you hear it? And he just looked at me and says, no. No? I said, let me interpret to you. So I interpret to him. I said, you are an evangelist. God said, you are an evangelist. You go up there and you preach. So you travel. You travel here and there to all the city, wherever you fly to. I said, you are hearing all kinds of teaching. I said, you know, the silver is the word of God. But when you go and I hear all those things, you are going to absorb all this man's teaching. And you're going to mix with the word of God. Green is the beginning of his growth. You are forced to wear a robe of half silver, half green. Green shows the growth stage. And you will cast into prison. You will trap. But then again you come out. And then you preach again. This time they caught hold of you and make you to wear a robe. Half silver, half brown. Brown is a stage of maturity. The third stage is a fruition stage. That's why you never see it. Oh, no, brother, again, that's not what the Lord showed me. I said, what the Lord showed me? You see, the Lord showed me, it's the same Lord. He wrote a very good song. One time, he wrote the song. He said, you know what, brother, again, when I was in L.A., and it was in the hotel room, the Lord who gave me that song is the same Lord who gave me this interpretation. I said, okay, interpret. He said, the interpretation is this. Green represents Samuel, that was Sokono. Because it's a green horn. He doesn't know how to deceive the people, how to trap the people, and put them under neglected. Brown is you, brother Yan. You control the people. That's why the Bible said there's no fivefold ministry, he said. Fourfold ministry. Making pastor and teacher one. So any church that has a pastor, the church is under neglected. That teaching is from the hell, brother. And sister, do you know that? I said, brother, how could you interpret? Preaching, how can you interpret a dream like this? You said Sam's church is green. He's green. He's trapping people. But in your dream, it is you who wear the rope. Who are they? I asked him. Who are they? He doesn't know. He said, they are the spirit, I said. The spirit caught hold of you. The spirit of the thing that you hear. And you are the one that were forced to wear this rope. And that's why you're cast into prison. Now you are going to a mature state now. You're still wearing a robe half mixed with man's doctrine. You have the word of God and you are the rest of it. You're wearing, you're mixing with man's doctrine. So he laughed. Before he left, of course, he preached in this powerful ministry and then began to call up the brothers and sisters behind my back. You know? So you know what the whole thing was all about. cannot suddenly come up with your own imagination. I tell you, who interprets scriptures? Who interprets dreams? Let me tell you who are the people in the Bible who interpret dreams. The apostles and the prophets. I said, when you come up to me with your dream, I try that, I look at it and pray about it. If it's not there, I don't know. I tell you, I do not know. Brother must not even say many things to many people. You know. Brother Jackson came to him, said, Brother Jackson, I know the white, the horse, my horse knows the power of God. He said, that's what I can tell you. You see, sometimes the God doesn't allow certain things to be seen as far as yet, until such time. And not trying to interpret dreams by looking at some books. Right? People can tell you, teach you how to interpret dreams. You ever seen those books? Yes. You know. You see, God has a way of interpreting your dream or events. So I told him, the servant is the word of God, that much I know. But the interpreter came at the pulpit. And he didn't want to hear it. So remember, brother and sister, the rope that you're wearing. Either you're wearing the word of God, silver means the word of God. Either you wear a pure robe means that you are, white robe means that you're holy, you're clean, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're not supposed to have a robe with all kinds of mixture of color. Is it alright? What did the bride wear? Robes. Little fine, clean and white. No blemish. And here you are green, here you are brown. You understand that? So, we ministers are not called to organize anything. We're not organize anything in the church now. We are called to preach the word, and we preach. The other thing, the last thing I want to say here, one point here is, the pride is the most difficult to break down. We all know that to be true. Every one of us, at one time or another, we have pride. Until God breaks it down, we will still remain to be the same thing. Proverbs chapter 11. Back in the 70s and 80s, all kinds of things are being said about me. So Bergen is a proud man. You know. He's a very difficult person to deal with. That was a very clear statement made. He's a very difficult person to deal with. They want to deal with me to follow them. Of course, they're going to be very hard for you to try. Try it. Try to pull me to your brand of mind. Doctrine in your spirit. I will not accept that. Is it? You see? Look at Paul. Paul was proud and as a Pharisee and God break him down. Then when he became an apostle, or he was proud because he had the truth and he tell the truth and did this. But nobody can say anything about it. Isn't it? Look at Peter. You know, speaking the truth in love, Paul rebuked him in front of the elders. You know. Yet Peter cannot say anything. Because, as I said, others be looking and say, wow. Paul wasn't an original. This tall disciple, and then he dared to speak against Peter. But Peter, I tell you, for his own sake, he realized, you know, and for Christ's sake, he had to be exposed for his hypocrisy. And he had nothing to say. When Paul rebuked him, I guess he kept quiet. He realized he was wrong. And I don't believe in his heart that he had any evil thought against Paul. I said, just wait, Paul. Just wait. I'll take my revenge. No, he wouldn't have first thought in his heart. He knew he was wrong. He remained silent. Just at the brand of myself, then Indiana came up to me and challenged me about speaking the word stuff. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, you know, speak children out of the dust of the ground. When I asked them a simple question, giving them a scenario, I asked them, is that what Brother Bam said? They know that they were wrong, they keep quiet. There's nowhere else you can say when you are wrong, you are wrong. It's better when to remain silent when you know you are wrong, rather than try to excuse yourself or defend yourself. You know. There's no way, admit you are wrong. That's what happened to me when a missionary says, oh, and there were never two prophets at the same time. You know, I just remain Why don't I say, well, we don't have to look into the Bible. You know, you say, want to look in the Bible and see? I said, no, you don't have to. I know. And I excused, I said, I have to go. I know that there's no way, no, nothing else to say because there's no foundation for what I'm saying. You know. So that's why if we don't take the Bible and say, then we're all going to be in a big mess. Proverbs chapter 11, 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, it's salvation. 13, 10. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised is wisdom. You know, when I'm overseas, when there are a lot of ministers, they want to argue and debate, you know, I said, no, it's not for me. Well, there are a lot of them like to debate. I said, no, I'm not here called to debate. If you want, let's look into the Word of God. Don't say, Brother Bam said this, Brother Bam said. Explain what Brother Bam said to say. I said, I don't have to explain what Brother Bam said. I can only explain what the Bible said. I cannot explain what Brother Bam said. You see, because if I explain what Brother Bam said, it will be my opinion, what Brother Bam is saying. And my opinion may be different from their opinion. And that's why we have quote versus quote. You know. If we have the mind of the prophet is to listen. Or the mind of Christ, which is a prophetic spirit. The mind of Christ is a spirit, it's a mind of prophecy. If we have the mind of Christ, we should be able to listen to understand what God is saying. And go back to the Word and check it out and see it there. You know. 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. 16:8. Pride goeth before destruction, or pride cometh before the fall, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, that's why sometimes people do things, you know, like I said, the church is not a club or a society. Even though it's society and club, when you want to, you know, get away from the club, you go and tell the secretaries, oh, I do not want to be a member of this club anymore. You know, you let them know, have the courtesy to let them know. So when a church is a church, you come to church, yeah, you're sitting here, now you're offering, there's no membership, yeah, of course, there's no I don't have a register book, I don't have a membership book, but you put your name there. But automatically you're a member of the Fellowship of Christ around, as a heavenly church. And here's a local church. So if you feel like leaving this church to go to another church, have the courtesy to let me know. Then at least have the courtesy to let me know. So, but again, so far, you know, there's only one person that I know of. Back there in the 80s, he came up to me after all the years with us and said, Bergan, I want to leave this church, go to another fellowship. I said, is there anything that you have against, you know, the ministry? He said, no. I said, you want to get us to mature in your word and you bring things about, you allow certain things to be, certain trial and temptation, certain persecution. But knowing all of this, Lord, as you give us the strength, the name of Jesus Christ is glorified. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being so gracious to us and for your strength in our life, Lord, all these years. Bless us one more time. Be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name.